This morning, we're going to discuss a word, a three-letter word, that we sing about periodically, we read about in Scripture, but I'm not sure that we understand. I think we dance around a proper understanding. I don't think we're way off in our understanding, but I think sometimes this word that we'll discuss today sort of gets in a category of like when you say to somebody, I need a Coke. Now, you may mean you need a Coke or specific Coca-Cola, or you may just mean I need something fizzy, you know, or I need a salt. And if they say, well, I got Dr. Pepper, and you say, that's fine, or I got Sprite, well, that's fine. Or I need a Kleenex. Well, you may be partial to that brand, but what you probably mean is I need a tissue. Right? And if it's Puffs, that's fine, because I'm running, so hurry, you know, that sort of thing. So we're going to talk about a word that sometimes gets put into a category of words, thinking they're all the same, and really they're just not specifically the same. We'll talk about that. I want to piggyback one second on something that Kevin discussed, and that is the work that's gone into our upcoming family retreat. It has really been a work of planning for some time now, and several people involved, several guys involved, and have done an outstanding job, and Kevin has taken the lead on this. Let me tell you something about our speakers. Friday night, we're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to have a lot of fun on Saturday also. We have not filled your day with speakers. We have speakers, we have a speaker, a singular speaker, for the women. And they'll have their session, but that entire session is 45 minutes. And they'll have, we'll have a men's speaker while others are doing other things. And that session will be that time frame. And the young people will have their speaker at a different time, and it will be that same time frame while everybody else has time to do other things and fellowship and just fun. And we'll have one come-together time, but that's scattered out over a full day and evening. So Kevin has a lot of things planned and a lot of fun games, and if you were to have been in those meetings and see that schedule already, you'll see the enjoyment that is yours if you will be a part of all of that or any of that as you can. Certainly you can spend the night, you can also come and go, and Kevin will say more about that to come as he did this morning, but anyway, we hope you'll be a part of that. This morning we're going to talk about a word, J-O-Y, it's joy. So I ask the question, do you have it? Do you know what it is? But do you have it because God intended it and He supplied for it and He deserves it? And that, I think if I'm initially reading that and I'm not the one putting these thoughts together and putting this up here, if I'm sitting where you're sitting and Cole has just put this up here as preaching this morning, or Buddy, I may say, okay, I get the God intended it and supplied for it. I'm not, what do you mean God deserves my joy? God deserves me to have Him pleased with me and to make Him happy, but why does He deserve my joy? We'll talk about that as we go along. But joy, it's one of those words that we sing about, it's one of those words we talk about, and we read about in Scripture, but do we understand it? And it, could it be that it gets kind of muddied or muddled with other words, especially one particular word that we'll look at, and gets a little bit misdefined? Anybody ever been on the joy bus? How many of you grew up, did any of you grow up with what was called, okay, there we got a couple of hands, which tells me a little bit about where you may have grown up. The joy bus, oh my, they used to run through Nashville churches, and back in the 60s and the 70s and even a little bit in the early 80s, and especially over in East Nashville and some congregations over in that area especially, they had the joy bus. My wife grew up on a joy bus. And she was sharing joy bus memories last night. Her dad drove the joy bus. And they went in and picked up kids in tough areas of town that did not have much and were sort of somewhat dirty, even children, not much in the way of good health or even clothing and or appearance, and would pick them up, and they'd sing as they went around and pick them all up to eventually take them to Bible class and then to worship. And they all had responsibilities in the family. You know, Janice family is like the Partridge family. And so they're on that, you know, Partridge family bus or van. But each one had different responsibilities. And so the girls would do some things with the girls. And poor Wayne, many of you know Wayne, had, you know, being the only guy, he had to take certain responsibilities with the guys. But the Joy Bus, and if you didn't ever ride the Joy Bus, you certainly have missed something. But you've sung the Joy song. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. And you've sung another song, J-O-Y, J-O-Y, and then there's a lot of different versions that come after that. And it all shook out this way to some degree. It was Jesus first and then others and self last. And we have taught those little songs to children in VBSs, for example. Maybe you grew up with something like that in VBS. And Scripture certainly teaches that when we place Jesus first and others second and self last, that it leads to God's plan for joy. And we don't live in a time and a culture that understands that. Our culture would not understand putting self last. Our culture exudes, our world, our nation now exudes this idea that you've got to look out for you because nobody else will. And you go do what you want to go do, and you have your dreams, and everything should be geared toward your dreams. That our culture doesn't understand this concept of putting self last, and certainly wouldn't understand it from the concept of it bringing joy. I think many people understand it and have experienced it because they've done it, but it's not what our world in general would say or do. It's not what it's doing now. Joy. A couple of things to consider. I ran across this one. There's another slide. I want you to look at that. It's important to know the difference between being happy and having joy. Well, first of all, being happy and having joy. I think that's important. Let's stop right there. Resist the temptation to read too far ahead. The first sentence right there, to note the difference in being happy and having joy. That's potentially our first need for understanding this morning, and we'll kind of flesh that out as the lesson goes along. That happiness is typically in a being at a time. There's a time element. It may be a lengthy time, but it's still time-driven. I am happy right now in my being. I'm being happy, but it doesn't mean I have it in terms of keeping it. Being happy versus having joy. That is because happiness is an emotion in which we experience feelings ranging from contentment and satisfaction to bliss and intense pleasure, whereas joy is, quote, a stronger, less common feeling than happy. Less common, yet stronger. All right, look at this one. More to consider here. Joy versus happiness. Joy and happiness are wonderful feelings to experience, but are very different. It comes when you make peace with who you are, why you are, and how you are, whereas happiness tends to be externally triggered and is based on other people, things, places, thoughts, and events. One, then, is too externally driven upon me. And that being true in my life is going to be driven by external forces, where joy is more driven by something internal. And I want you to consider that biblically this morning. Our joy can be fulfilled in us, but through Him. John chapter 17, verse 13. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. I want you to note verse 10. I don't want you to ever forget that Jesus Himself said in verse 10, if then. If then. This thing is not just yours through me without your responsibility. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. John 15. Your joy can be full, it can be complete, fulfilled in us, but it came through him. I am now coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have joy fulfilled in themselves. It was Jesus' desire for you and for me to have joy. That's better than being happy. We can have joy despite of our temporary circumstances. I have said these things to you, that in me you will have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. I think some translations will use the word trouble. In the world you will have trouble. You will have trials. You will have tribulations. Pick your word. The Bible has been honest with us about our lives and possibilities in those lives. If we ever begin to preach a gospel of health and wealth, if we ever begin to preach a gospel of prosperity, which will pack an arena every week in Houston, it's just not what Scripture teaches, then the first time somebody has what we call trials or tribulations, we've got problems with our credibility. That's what's wrong with that. What's wrong with that? It doesn't tell the truth of Scripture. In this world, you will have trial, you will have tribulations, but take heart, I've overcome the world. We can have joy even in the midst of our temporary circumstances, which might not be pleasant. I'm going to tell you that right now, and I'm just going to name somebody just kind of off the cuff here in this congregation. I could name others that have exhibited these characteristics as well. I'm going to name somebody because I just got finished talking a moment ago with Mark Coleman. I'm going to tell you that I believe Martha Coleman is full of joy. And I make that statement and somebody says, Andy, are you aware of all that Martha has been going through lately? Yes, I'm aware. I'm very aware. And I believe if you ask Martha Coleman if she's struggling, she will say yes. She may deflect. She may be thinking more of Herman. And that would be understandable. Those of us that know her would understand that she may do that. She will admit that she has struggled, that she has trial, that she has tribulation, she may have pain, that she's in a time period of life, but I also believe she will tell you she has joy. We can have joy in the midst of temporal circumstances. Why? Because I have overcome the world. And when Jesus said, I've overcome the world, that means those in Jesus have overcome the world. I have overcome the effect of the world, the effect of death, Paul to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Me personally, I've been able to overcome that because he overcame the world. We can have joy in the midst of unpleasant circumstances that are temporal. We should have joy in the church. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has, and he buys that field. That's what Jesus said. What's he talking about? God's kingdom. God's kingdom. God's body. His reign in his people and through his people and eventually with his people. The kingdom of God. Thy kingdom come. Joy in and because of and being a part of his church. We should have joy in the church. I've got a friend who preached a sermon years ago called Joy Suckers. And that wasn't some new kind of lollipop. Joy Suckers. He was talking about people in God's kingdom, in the church. He was talking about those that suck the joy out of the church. Barnabas was called a son of encouragement. I've asked this question before, and I think every Christian has to consider it. That was not his name. It was not his given name by his parents at birth. We know this. that you called the person a son of a thing if he had those characteristics, and they put a prefix in front of it, bar, which meant son of. He has these traits. James and John, sons of thunder. Their dad was not named Thunder. What would be your nickname in God's church? So my friend Craig preached a sermon called Joy Suckers, and I was able to see his PowerPoint that he went through preaching to the church about joy suckers in the church. We should have joy in the church. And discussing the kingdom of God, discussing the church, then in his joy, he goes and he sells all that he has, and that's what he's going to buy. He's going to buy that because that's the group and the only group living on earth now and until the Lord returns that can have true joy because they've overcome the world. That's the category of people that have a right to be in joy despite circumstances, and none other. Joy as permanent, the first verse listed, joy is attractive. Joy is permanent. No one can snatch them out of my hand, Jesus said in John 10, verses 28 and 29. That should make you joyful. And that's not about a circumstance. That's not about current health. That's not about your current financial state. That's not about what your kids are currently doing or not doing that you think they should be doing. That's not about how things are going at work. All of those things can determine happiness. But joy through circumstances as permanent. No one can snatch them out of my hand. That's permanent. Scripture does teach I can walk out of his hand. Scripture teaches I can walk out of his hand. But if I don't walk out of his hand, it teaches no one can take me from him. I can keep joy despite whether I'm happy in a circumstance or with a circumstance at the time. Joy is permanent. Also, joy is attractive. Always be ready to give an answer for the reason, for the hope you have in you. That's 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. Do people ask you about your obvious difference in how you deal with circumstances opposed to how they do or how most of the world does? Do people ever ask you that question? If nobody has ever asked you that question, and I'm not talking about those that are the youngest among us today, they have time for this to happen. But those of you that have been around a while, I'll just let you decide if that's you or not, that have been around a while in this world and around a while in life, and those of you who have been in Christ a while, can I ask you a real pointed, real purposed question? Has anybody ever asked you about how it is that you can view and react like you view and react in the midst of turmoil and trial and pain and so on, and it looks different from their outlook and reaction, and it looks different from the world? If nobody is ever asking, am I exuding that? Am I joyful? If nobody ever asks. Always be ready to give an answer for the reason, for the hope that you have in you. The assumption from the Apostle Peter is that somebody's going to see something and somebody's going to ask. They're going to ask about our joy. Joy not only is permanent, but joy is attractive. And that's why I had on the very first slide that God doesn't just provide for it, but he deserves my joy because the Lord wants to see his kingdom grown. And we are supposed to be an attractive bunch. And I'm not talking about making sure you get your hair done once a week. I'm not talking about what you're wearing. I'm not talking about your style preferences. I'm not talking about whether you'd get voted most likely to be on the cover of the magazine. We're talking about something deeper and greater. We're supposed to be attractive, and God deserves our joy because joy is an attraction. We're going to look at something here. this afternoon I've got to go at 2 o'clock over to the Creve Hall Church of Christ building. I'm going to be at the funeral for Tom Holland. A lot of people in this room knew Tom Holland, or a minimal somewhat of Tom Holland. There are people in this room that have been down to Diana singing, just an unbelievable event. Jenna and I joke. Please hear that. We joke. This is a joke, okay? Don't get uptight. That we're not sure that you can go to heaven if you haven't been to the Diana singing. I'm glad you have a sense of humor, Doug. Doug's not uptight. He started that thing, and it's amazing. People from every year, both times a year, it's held in the spring and held in the fall. Dan's been down there. We're talking about thousands of people over two nights. We're talking about people from 35, 40 states that come, and they get under this handmade old shed, and they sing, and they sing well after midnight. It starts at 6:30, I think, and they're going after midnight. And Tom has been the starter and the MC and this kind of thing. Well, over the last several years, he has not been able to get up and do it like he wanted to do it. Now, he just leads one song is all. He starts it off, and he leads his song, and it sort of became the song that was given to him. We said earlier, I can have joy in my circumstances. Take heart, take care, I have overcome the world. I can have a joy that I'm loved by friends, family, and God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe upon him might not perish but have eternal life. I can have joy that he'll sustain me if God so clothes the grass of the field and feeds the birds of the air. Won't he handle you? He asked in Matthew chapter 6. I can have joy in my forgiven sin. Hebrews 8 verse 12, Hebrews 10 verse 17, I will remember their sins no more. My joy can be permanent because it transcends time and place and circumstance. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My joy can be attractive, and God deserves it for soul winning purposes. Somebody ask him. And I would imagine that Brother Tom has had more people ask than I can possibly imagine about his joy in the midst of a lot of pain and turmoil. I want you to look at this man's facial expression. I'm going to show you him leading this song 2 years ago, and then last year they had to hold, literally somebody on each side hold him up from a wheelchair and hold him up to be able to still do it. Not a dry eye anywhere. I want you to watch his facial expression throughout the song to what he's thinking about in the midst of trial. Joy is not about circumstance. Joy is not about today. Joy is not about external forces creating it for me, upon me. Joy, it can be permanent despite, and it teaches and it draws. And that's what God deserves from us. My grandfather, my dad's dad, his favorite song was Pearly White City. And I used to watch him sing that when he didn't know who I was. I watched him sing it when he didn't know who anybody was, because his Alzheimer's had gotten to that point. And I think it's interesting, that's my father's favorite song, And I know that what was inside my grandfather and what will be inside my father is exactly what you'll see in the facial expression of Brother Tom as he sings and leads his favorite song. There are people, I can name them. Some of them have gone on to their reward, that have taught many, including me, about being able to have and keep something through a most difficult trial, through a most difficult circumstance. That they will not lay down something that comes from within based on what's going on around. And that their joy will not be determined by external forces and other people. And they live confidently. And they live looking. And they live expecting. And they can hardly wait. Come, Lord Jesus. You know, that's what the early Christians said that to one another. We know this historically. They said that to one another. Whether you pronounce it Maranatha or Maranatha, I've heard it both ways, I don't care. It doesn't matter. However you want to say it, I want you to carry it in your mind. Lord, come quickly. Do you want that? Do you want that? Those that have joy, they want that. Joy is not happiness. Joy is greater. Joy is deeper. Joy is better. And my joy, because of its source, because of where it comes from, will keep me in Christ. I want you to get in Christ. I want you to have joy. I want you to be confident. You're not supposed to live nervous wreck about your faith nor about your salvation. There is no need for you to leave here nervous about your salvation. In that bright city, pearly white city, I. Did you see when he led, when he said I in that first chorus? We just picked it up at the first chorus. And they kept going. Did you see him do this? It was a quick gesture. In that bright city, pearly white city, and he leaned forward with that Tom smile and said, I have a mansion, a robe, and a crown. So what? And so what? What will that do? Here's what it does. Here's what it breeds. Because of that, now I am watching. I'm waiting. And I'm longing. That's joy. And if you need to watch better, wait better, and long, you can have every bit of that. You don't need to leave without it. And I hope you'll get it while together we stand and sing.